you know, you can see all the stars,
yeah.
and like they're exploding, you know, like
Man.
It's the universe. It's like a fireworks show, right? And we're just lying on the sand watching this, to the point where Charlie at one stage gets so, he's like, I've seen too much, and he just stands up and turns his back to the universe because like he just could not see any more pleasure, right? Then these gypsies come up the beach.
What?
Right. We'll fly down to Sydney for a holiday. Oh, sunny Christmas Day. Australia.
Hey everybody, welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. I'm Ari Shaffir, and it is 4:43 on a Monday, 4:43 p.m. And guess who just woke up, everyone? Guess who just woke up? It's your boy, Ari Shaffir. Went to sleep at almost 8. Man, not having any responsibility is weird. There's no... My responsibility is I gotta be ready at fucking 8 p.m. for to leave for a show. And I almost fucked it up. God, that's late. I missed the sun completely. Completely missed the sun. I should have done it in the morning. If the summer's already up, I should have gone out there and just gotten a fucking 15 minutes of sunlight right then, but... I didn't. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. On today's episode, we got Will Anderson. Here's the deal with Will. He grew up on a farm, which is what I talked to him about. But what's really interesting about him is that he's a super cool guy in another country. I had this thing where he kind of wrote off pretty much every other comic outside of New York and in L.A., and then here or there, people would start showing themselves to me as like legitimate comics that don't grow up in that. Shane Moss is one of the early ones. You know, he always lived in Boston, and then he moved to Austin, Texas. Both cities I'm going to be this month. And I was like, well, he's really good. I would see him at festivals. I'm like, he's a really good comic and a cool guy, but he's not in that system. And then I saw like Jimmy Carr from England. And Jim Jeffries from England. And then I was like, oh, maybe there's some guys that are... And now Will Anderson. I saw the thing about Australia. I'm like, no, anyone who starts here can't be. But then, you know, I'm just wrong. I was just wrong. So Will has the same thing that I do, but on a greater level, where he writes a new hour a year. He calls it 75 minutes, but... Yeah, he aims it for the Melbourne Comedy Festival, and then he goes, you know, I got to have a bunch of new stuff for those people because that's the big, you know, get the word out. And so what he did was he moved from Australia, where he was a massive comic, one of their top, you know, 5 or 6 comics, numbers wise, and he moved to America, where he started over. He moved to LA, where he really just started over. Nobody really knew who he was. He does. Shows on the road where he gets like 2 fans there just so he could see what his material is really like. And it's, man, it's kind of inspiring. I like that shit. He started over. I did that in New York, but not that hard. Not like that, where I completely started over. So cool to him. During this podcast, my fucking memory card went full, so it suddenly stopped in there, like 15 minutes in. I'm embarrassed, but that's what happened. It's not the Zoom's fault. It's my fault. So, whatever. We lost some conversation, but still have plenty in there. At the time, while I was there, I was doing this thing where Dr. Chris Ryan, who's been on my podcast called Sex Monkey, he told me, and he said on Twitter, that if you pee on your athlete's foot, it gets rid of it. So, during my time in Australia, I got into it, you guys. I got really into it. And I spent every pee I had thinking about putting them on my feet. If I was in the hotel, I would just go right to the shower. I would just take my pants off and I would just piss onto my feet, in between the toes and stuff. And I would leave it there for like 5 minutes and I'd wash it off. And I went with Will, the bathroom of the place we were talking in, had a trough, one of those long ones. Girls don't have to deal with this, although that'd be awesome if they did. Girl troughs. Oh, someone invent that. It would have to be like a peeper, like a peeping Tom. But if you're like a peeping Tom and you're also inventive and you have an in into the toilet contingency, the toilet lobby, yeah, get girls troughs and then put cameras up where we can web stream a bunch of girls pissing next to each other. It's not for sexual reasons. It's just to, you know, to look. Just to look. So I'm peeing in the trough and all I can think about is pissing on my fucking toes. I got so into it. Now your question is, did it work? Did you get clear athlete's foot from peeing on your toes so much? The answer is the opposite. It got way worse than infected. Who the fuck said you're supposed to have urine on your fucking wounds in your feet? That doesn't sound right at all. Because they just got worse. They just got way worse. And then when I got, then I got some Lamisil and I used that and then it's pretty much better. Pissing on your feet. What are you talking about, dude? Why would this fucking urine that makes you get infected, why would that help? All right, whatever. So anyway, this is the first of my two interviews I did in Australia. I tried doing Greg Barrett too, but then we just went to Bondi Beach and had a good time. Here it is. Enjoy. Let me do some. Oh, I got one more story for you. But first, let me do a quick sponsor update. Squarespace is the sponsor today, everybody. Listen, I went over to their offices and I went over how to make an account on Squarespace, and it's super easy, you guys. I'm really glad it is too, because I kind of knew that, but now I really know. You can just make a website. It's super fucking easy. You don't have to have any computer skills. Go to squarespace.com. If you enter this the code, well, I don't know what the code is. I think it's still Stone. But you know what? Fuck it. Let's just use that because I haven't gotten another one. I got one for December, but not anyway. Whatever. So go to squarespace.com. And if you enter the code Stone, then you will get 10% off your order. So here's what they do. You don't have to pay anything. You can just design a website for free. If you want to get it and get that web domain, they can help you with that. And it's super cheap. You get a free one if you sign up for a year. Free domain. And they'll just say, okay, now if you pay for it, now you can use this thing that you've designed. But you can just see what your website would look like without having to spend a dollar. Just go and fucking design one and see it and be like, you know what? I like that. You can show it to your friends. But like, this is cool. I'm like, cool, I'm ready to sign up for it. So don't have to worry about signing up and then getting something shitty. It's just a cool, easy way. It's just drag and drop. It shows you how to make profile, not profile. God damn it, Ari. Albums. I was going to say portfolios. For anything you want to make, to sell shit online, it's so easy. It's so easy. We did it in like, and I'm like, really, I'm talking like seriously easy. We did it in like 2.5 minutes. We set up like 3 different items for sale. It was like, it's really easy, you guys. And it just goes through this thing. It's just like PayPal pretty much, but it's called Slice or Square. It's all on there and it's super easy. They just take a 3%, not Squarespace, this other company. Takes a 3%, just like PayPal would do if you use them for, just the same as anyone who used to monetize. It's really easy, you guys. So go to squarespace.com, enter the code STONE, and you get 10% off your, that's my phone, not yours. Don't look at your phone, it's my phone, not yours. Anyway, squarespace.com. Thank you for sponsoring this episode. I didn't give Will Anderson $50, by the way. Because he's super rich, and when super rich people do it, I get sort of embarrassed offering to them. Like Bill Burr was like, "What? No, keep your money, man. Stop it." And so I just like hooked Will up in another way on the risk I took. All right, so here's some quick dates. Will is going to be all over, by the way, Australia the next 3 days. And then he's going to be in Denver for New Year's weekend, December 27th through the 31st in the Comedy Works, where I will be in the last week of January. I'm going to be in New York, that we're trying to finalize the details on right now. Ren Azizi's doing it. Al Madrigal's doing it. My storyteller show at Webster Hall. I will put on my website, on my dates thing there, I will put the code to get in. It's going to be season two. Listen, there's free tickets, but I was like, I want fans to be there, not stupid fucking free ticket people. So they said, we came up with a compromise that because Comedy Central wants to put this one on. We're not recording it. It's just showing it. But and Kurt Metzger's doing it too. So they said, use this code season two if you get free tickets, and then those fans, those will be my fans. Only I'm giving out that code. So you guys get to go in for free first. I mean, first, ahead of all the other people. So no one gets shut out that really wants to be there. So I'll put the link for that on there. And then I'm in Austin, November 13th through the 16th at Cap City. St. Louis at the Old Rock House with Joey Diaz, November 21st. One show only. Straight from there to Atlanta for the Punchline, 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. I think I'm doing a 420 show also. And on Sunday. And then that's it. Boston. The Friday and Saturday after Thanksgiving at Laughs Club, Laughs Comedy. And then I'm going to Switzerland for this festival, for this Montreux Comedy Festival. I just had to go through a bunch of clips to see who was good and who was not good of people that submitted. It was really funny. Some of them were just like people in their living room. Some of them are like really good comics. Some of them were new. It was kind of cool. I saw a lot of really good comics, a lot of funny comics. It was kind of interesting. We had to weed it down way past the point of funny. Like funny stopped. Like funny started at like 80 submissions, and they had to take it down to like 20. I gave them like 65 names. I'm like, narrow down from there. I'm out. Okay. So I went to this Chinese restaurant. Should have gotten kangaroo. Did not. In Melbourne. And then, so this one Chinese restaurant. So I like spicy food. I love it. And this one place had spicy signs for their stuff. They had Kung Pao kangaroo, which I should have gotten, but I didn't. Again, regret. And by the way, all my dates are on my website, arithegreat.com. arithegreat.com. And new stories come out tomorrow, you guys. Fuck, I forgot about that. New stories for the storytelling series. This Is Not Happening presents. It's out Tuesday, every Tuesday. So my story will start first. The preview video is out now, and I put it on my website, but I'll replace it on Tuesday with the first of the series. I'm going first, then Big J is the second one, a week from Tuesday, November 11th, and then Rogan, and then I forgot who's fourth. Maybe Kurt Braunholer, who told a great story. So did Jay, too. Fuck. It was a really good one this time, you guys. So every Tuesday, I'll have a playlist up there, so you don't have to keep you can subscribe, but it's the only way to do it, really. Anyway, but I'll have a playlist, so you can just see those videos, and you see the ones from last year, too. So I went and got Chinese food, and it had one spicy jalapeno, and then two, and then three for different meals. And I got a three one, and I was going to order extra spicy. I got Kung Pao. I was going to like, you know what? I just got Kung Pao chicken. I know it's boring instead of getting the kangaroo, but my thought was, if I have to compare this to Joey Diaz, how am I going to compare it to something? I have to have gotten that same dish in America. So they didn't have General Tso's chicken, so Kung Pao chicken. But they had three spices, and I was going to say, hey, can you make it extra spicy? But then I said, no, I will trust the sanctity of the chili pepper. When you say three chili peppers, I'm going to trust this company. I'm going to trust you guys, the fucking fish company in Melbourne, to goddamn, what's the name of the restaurant? Spicy Fish. It's somewhere in Melbourne. Let it surprise you. Trust the three stars. And I did. I said, you know what? You went with three peppers for a reason. So I'm going to trust you on this. You're a new company. I'm going to take your word for it. You were highly reviewed on Yelp. I don't know if that's true or not. I want to believe. I want to believe in the sanctity of the chili pepper. And I ordered 3 chili peppers. It was said that I ordered it and it came. And it was hot, everyone. It was spicy. I believed and I was rewarded. It just goes to show you that the American dream lives all over cities in Australia, but not in America. Why do I have to order an extra spice here just to get any sort of tingling in my mouth? When it says spicy, that means spicy. That means like, ooh, it's got a kick. Not, shouldn't be a hot ketchup. Idiots. You stupid idiot Chinese places in America. Idiots. All right, you guys. So here's the episode. I have one story to share in the outro. But until then, here's the episode. We meandered a lot, me and Will. Guys, he's a cool guy. You should check him out. We meandered a lot. But we talked about his farm life growing up. And it was fun. Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir Skeptic Tank, episode 139. Farm Boy. With Australia's finest, Will Anderson.
Grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folk can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those woods and moan boys raised on shotguns. We say grace, we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. The West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the Western skies.
All right. Until then, hey, Will Anderson, how are you?
Yeah, I'm really good. We're sitting at a table next to my accountant.
Oh, that's who that was?
Yeah, just before this started, at the next table, a woman who produced an Australian TV show with a guy called Chris Lilly called We Could Be Heroes, and he did another one called Summer Heights High.
Oh, yeah, that guy's awesome.
Really, really funny guy. Like, people would know his work, and if you haven't, check it out. It's brilliant. So Laura, who's at the next table, is the producer of that show. She makes some of the best television in Australia. Yeah. Her husband is my accountant. He used to be in a really famous Australian band called Hunters and Collectors. Now,
really? And he became an accountant?
Yes.
That's so much different.
But here's the best bit. They were a legendary Australian band. So I've honestly had times where he's had to say to me, we have to cancel that appointment because we're being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Right. So recently, after like 20 years of not performing, they've just reformed, like everybody's reforming, right?
Yeah.
So they played on AFL Grand Final Day, which is like our Super Bowl. They were like the halftime show. And I'm at this game cheering my accountant as he plays in the middle. Yeah, right?
I always think it's weird what happens to people after their professional sports career, whatever it is, when they're selling houses and stuff.
I mean, it's amazing
people
to
bother
me.
Them and go like, is it nonstop? Like,
I mean, do we know any comedians who are like now accountants? Like
regular people?
Right.
I don't think so. They all just kill themselves.
Right.
That's what you're supposed
to do.
You
can't go back.
You ever look at somebody who got out that you started with or whatever?
Right.
And you just kind of like try not to? I always just look down on them.
Right.
I don't want to, but I can't help it.
Well, how can you? The problem with doing this, and I always say this to new people, is just don't do it unless you really think you can do it for the rest of your life. Because there's not really any way out.
No, there's no way out.
Like, once you've discovered it, like, once you've, you know, once people have had that first proper laugh, that hit, you just go, how do you go back to your real life?
Yeah.
You can't
once
be the funniest guy
laugh.
Doing presentations, right?
Yeah.
You can't just be like, I'm going to kill at KPMG, my accounting firm. Like, you know.
I saw this girl who did it for like a year and a half or 2 years, my friend's little sister, and she had to give a speech at his wedding. She gave this whole PowerPoint presentation, and it was hilarious. But I was just like, oh, that's all you got left.
Right. I mean, these are all comps.
Yeah.
No one in this room's a payer. Like, I mean, come on. Like, this is a completely papered house. Like,
yeah. You're right. They always end up saying, like, no, it's good. You know, I've got this going and that going. And you want to be like, who are you trying to convince?
Right.
Me or you?
I know. I mean, it's... And the thing is that... And I'm not looking... When I say I look down on that, I don't really look down on the person. I just feel bad because every time you see that, you know that could be you too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I have mates, you know, who I've come up with in comedy who you know, for struggling, who I think are wonderful, wonderful comedians, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, guys I'll take out on the road with me who, you know, in front of my audiences, kill. Like, yeah. you know, kill that in that way that I'm standing side stage going, maybe you could kill a little less hard.
yeah.
Like, you
yeah.
know.
Hey, you want to, like, give them a light earlier if I can, if I can
right.
do this. Yeah.
But, you know, like, really, really guys who, you know, if they got, if 1,000 people were coming out to see them,
yeah.
they would handle
audience,
that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they, but for whatever reason, Quite that flip. Audience hasn't found them. And I, they, you know, sometimes they look at stepping out and you go, I can see why, but you can still go yeah. to the movies whenever you want. Like, that's still better than in most jobs, right?
Yeah.
Like, how many times this week did you go to the movies during the day? Then tell me whether you have a good job
is
or
it
not.
More than zero?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, there's no job. It's not a job at all.
I hear guys saying, I haven't seen a movie this year. Like, as in, like, people in the real world. Uh-huh. They go, oh, I haven't had a chance to see a movie this year. What?
Yeah. We had this restaurant, and it was always a dream. I was struggling with this dream of mine. It was this garlic restaurant. The Stinking Rose.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know.
And I remember telling the girl I was with, like, you know, if I ever get enough time and money, I'm going to go there and get this Banya Calda. It's just like roasted garlic with bread that you can dip in it. I'm like, I'm going to do that. And she's like, you have time now, and it's $5.
Right. Just go and do it.
What are you talking about? I was like, oh, yeah.
I think a lot of the time, though, in life, we have that thing where we're kind of going towards this ideal, or people are working towards this ideal, that, like, then... I'll have fun.
Oh, right.
Like, you know, when I...
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to work really hard now and not have any fun.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, when I'm 50...
And then what, at 65, you're going to retire and what, sail? You can't even run.
Right.
You're going to break your leg hopping down a step.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. do something right now. Like, a lot of those things you want to do. And yeah. I've got one of those. This is my... Someone asked me once, like, if you could... If you ever get, like, super rich, like, yeah. and you have to... Like, what you got to have a quirk, right? Like a thing, right?
Okay.
What would be your thing? And I thought yeah. really hard about it because I was trying to, like, I don't really have any, like, weird
like hookers,
sexual
like,
things
okay, yeah.
or, like, and, like, you know, I'm a bit like you when it, that attitude of, like, with drugs, it's like, well, I can buy drugs now.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like, you know, I have to get super rich so I can finally buy drugs.
Yeah.
Like,
they're not that expensive.
No,
but.
No. It's fine.
Yeah.
That's the point of drugs, right? Yeah. That's why they're so popular. Yeah. So, despite all the negative
so popular,
press,
easy,
they
yeah.
are so popular.
You know what's less popular? Yachts.
Yeah, right.
More people would like one, but
yeah.
not
and
not
you
around.
Never even hear a guy. I've never heard of a guy like knocking over somebody's VCR to buy a yacht, right?
Yeah.
No one's desperate for a yacht. Like, a yacht is a thing you have when you're like, I have too much money.
I got to do something with
it. I got to do something.
Let's get a floating house.
Can you get a yacht and fill it full of drugs, please? but yeah, so I thought about it a lot, and I realized that the thing I love more than anything when I eat food is finger food, like yeah. tiny food. Like, I love tiny food.
Chicken
like,
nuggets?
I'm vegetarian, but
oh, really?
I just love anything that's like deep fried and on a stick or whatever,
yeah.
right? And so I decided if I got rich enough, I would have like private chefs and I would only ever eat tiny foods. Like, breakfast, lunch, dinner, just tiny foods, but served to me by midgets, so it's in proportion. That's my one thing, right?
That would be your... What's that movie where everyone stabs each other and drinks wine out of their bellies? It's some old... It's about Rome or something.
Right.
Fuck, I forgot what it is. But yeah, that'd be a great one. It's just to have...
Caligula?
Extravagance. Caligula, yeah.
Right.
That would be your version.
Yeah, that's
midgets
mine.
Serving you.
That's
now.
What I've thought about it.
Yeah.
But the truth of it is, going on your theory,
yeah.
that I could do that now.
Yeah, and
like,
you
not,
haven't.
Maybe not like every day... But like on special occasions,
for a party,
like birthdays, Christmas party, whatever.
Yeah,
like I could do that.
How much would it cost to get to like 7 midgets? How many would you need? 10?
Well, I mean, like first party, I just have my house.
Yeah,
and you saw the house. I reckon I could have 30, 40 people there for a fun time.
Okay.
Like you don't want too many. You want people to be able to see the midgets, and plus, I don't
yeah.
want like the midgets
yeah.
getting like pushed in the pool. Or,
oh yeah, they might
like,
drown.
Right,
yeah.
that's got to be. There's got to yeah. be occupational health and safety
if
issues.
If your dog
with,
attacks them or something,
right?
My like,
dog
I can take them.
Yeah, right,
I'm not that
that's
big.
That's a
but
small
this one
dog,
I could take.
But yeah, I could take a tiny human.
yeah,
and so. And plus, they're holding food at dog height. So, you know. So, I'm mm-hmm. going to say, like, you know, tiny...
You people. Should do that, though, dude.
Like, so how much do you think it would cost?
I mean, you'd have to tell them ahead of time. Like, I don't just want you to serve. I want you to serve because you're a midget.
Right. Oh, yeah, no, it can't be a surprise. That's...
Yeah.
No.
You can't be like, wait a minute. You only hired...
Hang on.
Many
Hang
people
on.
Or whatever they're called. but I'd say $200... For the day?
Really?
Yeah, that would do it.
Plus catering. $500
oh, yeah,
bucks.
Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
$500.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Everyone would talk about it.
Do you think that I could have an Asian midget serving sushi? Or is that like...
I think there's no way you couldn't
right,
do that.
Okay.
I don't think...
I don't know if that's too edgy or not. Like, yeah. I feel like I was...
The thematic ones.
Right. I didn't know. Yeah, well... yeah, that was...
Yeah. Yeah, a little, maybe a little... they don't have any black mages.
Oh,
there.
You know what it could be? It could be what? Nations of the world with the food
there
choices.
You go.
That, see, that's more...
So it's not racial. It's racial. It's about looking at cultures.
Right.
Yeah.
It's exploring cultures.
Yeah.
And also saying that every culture has midgets. Right?
This is what unites us.
Right, yeah. It's like the United Nations of midgets.
No matter what culture right. you're in, you all think it's a little weird.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's look at the things that bond us together, not the things that divide us.
Yeah. Forget about what our governments do.
Right.
Bond with midgets.
I know we have a lot of differences on religion and women, but...
Dude, you should do that. You should really do that. Would you get in trouble? Would the PC people get you in trouble?
I feel like I would get
in
trouble.
You would.
Fuck, that'd
be hilarious.
I feel like this is why it's got to be my super rich thing. Because it's got to be when I go a little crazy, you know, like...
Mm-hmm.
I can't just be that guy now.
Have you changed since you got rich? When did you get money? I mean, I don't know. It's Australian fame, so I don't know what it is,
right.
really.
It's not like US fame.
Okay.
I've been working full-time in comedy here for, like, about 16 years. It's, like, at a point where, you know, you could... I bought my house, about 8 years ago.
You've been doing comedy full-time for 6 or 10 years?
Sorry?
You've been doing comedy full-time for only 6 or 10
years? No, I've been for 16 years.
Oh, 16.
Yeah. Yeah, forever. And I bought my house, and I know my dad thought that was weird. Because my dad's a farmer, and his dad was a farmer, and my brother's a farmer, right? And I remember, I just think up until then, even though I'd been like on television for like 6 years at this point, my dad just thought someone was...
You weren't going to do this?
Or just someone was giving me a break, or like they were humoring me, or like not that it was my real job. You know, he just didn't understand that.
It took my parents until they saw me on TV, and they're like, "Oh, maybe you can do this."
Oh, I'd been on TV.
Your parents didn't care.
Oh, no, not at all. It wasn't until I bought my house that my dad, like, there was some weird thing in his mind that clicked that if I could have gone into a meeting with a bank manager and said to them, "Can you give me a substantial amount of money to buy a house in Sydney Harbour?"
That it must be legit,
and they were like. They gave me the money, then it must be legit.
Yeah.
Because they know. Because he was like, "What did you say? How did you say you were going to pay it back?" And I said, "Jokes." And he was like, "And they gave you money?" And I was like, "Yeah, I suppose. I suppose they did."
There was this guy, Willie Brown. He was, remember Willie Tyler and Lester?
Yes.
Well, he was another black guy with a black puppet. Willie Brown and Lester.
All right, sure.
Willie Tyler and Lester? No, Willie Brown and Woody. That's what it was.
Okay.
But he wanted to get an apartment, and the guy was like, "You don't have any credit." And he was like, "What do you do?" And he goes, I'm a comic. I have a puppet. As an actor, he's like, "Really?" He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, show me." So he went to this car and got it and did 5 minutes.
And did he
and
get
the guy got the apartment? Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah, he was like, "All right, that's pretty funny." Yeah, it's weird to say I'll pay this back with jokes,
but that's what it is.
I will describe my dick in detail, and that'll get me payments for this mortgage.
Yeah, in fact, ironically enough, I came up with a bit. I toured for a whole year out of that bank meeting, so it started paying for itself the minute I left.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
that's great. So, that's great. So you do this hour a year thing?
Yeah.
How long have you been doing it?
Well, here you have to. So to explain to people like who I guess don't understand the way it works here in Australia is if you want to do the festivals every year, like Melbourne Comedy Festival, Adelaide Fringe Festival, Brisbane Comedy Festival.
And do you want to? Why do you want to do those?
You do want to.
How come?
Like, well, I mean, firstly, the Melbourne Comedy Festival is the third biggest comedy festival in the world, but having played some of the other ones, I always feel like it's the best one. You get to do your hour. You do your hour for 21 nights. Like, it's over 3.5 weeks. So, and it has a real graduation system where, like, I mean, I started out, you know, 18 years ago in a 30-seat room in, like, the back room of the town hall that's normally for some, it's like a closet, right? You know, that they've turned into a venue.
Yeah, the closets of every club.
And, like, this year at the festival, I played, like, the Princess Theatre, which I saw Hugh Jackman do Beauty and the Beast at when I was, like, 15. You know, it's like a 1,600-seat, theatre that's haunted and, it's like a proper person's theatre.
So it's just
in
terms of, like, not pride, but, you know, where it's, like, a moment in your career, like, wow, I get to do this. That's,
right.
You
can graduate to that festival and understand where you're at a lot, I think.
Okay.
You know, like, also, for me, it's my biggest financial, like, it sets up the rest of my year.
Yeah.
You know, like, massive audiences, it's Australia's biggest comedy festival.
Oh, they pay.
Oh, yeah, they pay.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's why. It's a... Yeah, it's a massive...
Because for Montreal, for all the festivals in LA, in America, like, all around, it's really just... It pays okay, but it's really just for the fun. no. hanging out with.
Well, I mean, comics. When you first started at the Melbourne Comedy Festival, because everyone's producing their own shows, really, basically.
Oh, it's like Edinburgh.
So, yeah, okay. It is. Yeah, very much. Same model, really, as Edinburgh.
I'm supposed to do it next year, but I don't know what to expect, so go ahead.
It's terrifying. Yeah. Are you talking about Melbourne or Edinburgh?
Melbourne.
Yeah. So, it's great. They love comedy. It's Australia's most sophisticated comedy audience, yeah. And that's not to disrespect other places that where there's cool.
No, fuck them, dude.
But yeah. It, because the festival has been there for 25 years, that it's one of the biggest tourist things in that entire city.
Oh.
It's really well respected. People come out to see comedy that would never go out to see comedy in clubs. Like, you know, people are putting on full length shows every year. People are following people's careers. Like, you know,
okay.
It's a really amazing time to be in Melbourne. Like, it's. I recommend it to anyone who loves comedy because they also get some of the best comedians from all around the world. Yeah, the best of the British comedians, the Irish comedians, and these days getting a lot of the best acts out of the US as well. So it's a really amazing festival.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
So it's that too. So the same people are going to come see you again.
Yeah.
And you can't do your hour again.
Right. Like, so that's whatever. Why you have to do a new hour every year. If you want to tour full time as a comedian here,
yeah.
I think you need a new hour a year. Now, some people would say every 2 years. But for me, I like to be able to come back to the same place every year
yeah.
and do a show there and go, this is going to be a new show.
How do you start over every year? Like, what do you, I've just started doing this. I'm on my third year now.
So I finished my tour last night.
Okay.
Like, you know, so... and I started at March 1. So that's my cycle of doing the show.
Yeah.
And now I'm in the cycle of, like, I have to have a new show by March 1.
Oh, so this doesn't count as you're just going to fuck around and work out material and try to write jokes?
Right. Okay. So... in this period of time, like, I'm at the Sydney Comedy Store for the next 2 weeks at 7 o'clock doing, like, what we bill as work in progress shows, but they're essentially improv shows. Like, I just go out and talk,
just,
you know, wow. And I record it all and I try to just see what's in my head and what I'm thinking about and whatever. And I'm doing 8 of them. And normally by the time I
how long do you do those?
I do an hour.
Each one of those, an hour of riffing? An hour of riffing?
But they're kind of billed as that. You know, the audience are there.
Okay.
Like, a lot of the people who come to see these shows are the people who came and saw my tour like a month ago in Sydney and paid $50 to go and see that. They come and see this as $15.
Oh, it's cheaper.
They like to see something that's like, they know what it is.
Yeah.
Like, you know, some people still are a bit like, oh, really? You're just going to keep talking until you find something funny? But mostly you get an audience like the people who go to car races where some of them come for the spectacular moves and some of them come to see you plow it into the wall. Like, people love to see you fucking plow that shit into the wall sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, it is kind of amazing. If you're a comedy nerd or a fan, that would be cool to see the process of it.
I have people who come at different stages and, you know, tell me about it. And
they say, like, this bit was so much better. I remember when you thought of that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or,
cool.
Like, sometimes they'll see me try to make a bit work that, like, is... never worked again after that time. You know, they were there the time, and they're like, what about that thing about Jesus on the beach? And I'm like, it never worked again.
Yeah, that's the joy. We were talking on the way here about the difference between a live show. There's something to, like, be there live.
Right.
But sometimes when you're recording, there's certain things that just can't go. It's just too dark for television.
Right.
And you want to be like, if you would have come, you would have seen it. It works. So I have some that's worked every other time. Same thing like that. And you're like, you should have seen it when you had a chance.
Right.
It's just gone for the world now.
But that is absolutely right. Yeah.
Have you caught it on that one night where you're like, I remember seeing that bit and it killed. If I get somebody on Twitter, I'm like, you were there the only night, bro. Congratulations.
I'm actually thinking about doing something. Yeah, these days, and I use a similar system to you for my podcast, and the convenience of having, like, this tiny little machine that you can record decent, like, a broadcastable quality, your audio. Not, like, really sweetened or anything. But if there's, like, a chunk of 15 minutes that was in that moment and works, and I think people would think it was funny, but... has no place in my stand-up act during the show.
I think
I just put them out.
Yeah.
Like, I think these days, you know, you're like, I can't do anything else with this. We may never meet again. So shed your spirits, get started.
What band is he in?
Hunters and Collectors.
Hunters and Collectors. Maybe I'll use some of that music for this. Yeah, my card got full. Sorry, everybody. I don't know how much. Did you see it pop on when it's like
No, I don't know. So I don't know how much we
lost.
It was all excellent, though. That's like, no matter how much we
lost. Probably the best podcast I've ever recorded.
I got to be honest with you. It was, we redefined comedy in the universe in whatever you didn't hear.
Hunters and what? What is it?
Hunters and Collectors.
I got to look it up. Punk band?
Reminiscent of what Australian rock was in the 1980s. So it's not necessarily music that has...
What was it? Silverfish or whatever that band was? It's the only one I knew.
Silverchair?
Silverchair, yeah. Sorry, Silverchair. I didn't mean to call you Silverfish.
They were very popular here, Silverchair. Daniel Johns, who's the lead singer at Silverchair, was very popular musician here.
Yeah.
You're talking a decade earlier.
Well, 90s,
so
yeah.
When I'm at college, at university, like Hunters and Collectors were like the biggest Australian band. And I had this song called Throw Your Arms Around Me. And it was like... It was the Australian, like, ballad. Like, the thing that people would get drunk and, like, you know,
they
put
all
their...
all sing together?
Yeah. That's exactly what the song is. Like, can you just imagine drunk, sweaty men who don't normally hug each other because it's Australia in the 1980s and suddenly are just all over each other singing Throw Your Arms Around
It's amazing
me.
How songs can bring people together like that.
Right.
It's really kind of crazy.
There's another great story about an Australian band called The Angels.
Yeah.
And they had a song called Am I Ever Gonna See Your Face Again? And for reasons that they didn't come up with. Now, these days, you know, every time you go to like a rap gig or whatever, like they go, when I say this, you say this. Yeah, and you're like, oh, this is not even organic if you have to say what we have to say. Yeah. Like, I don't want to be that guy. Does everyone on the left-hand side have to clap and then everyone on the right?
Like, what are we doing here? You guys run the show.
Yeah, come on, dance. Yeah. Dance. So they had a song called Am I Ever Gonna See Your Face Again? And for whatever reason, the audience just started shouting out a response to that at gigs.
Really?
So, yeah. So the song basically was like, am I ever going to see your face again? And then the whole audience would just shout, no way, get fuck off.
All together?
All together.
Wow.
To this day, if you went up to an Australian and you sang them, am I ever going to see your face again?
They would do that.
Their immediate response would be, no way, get fuck off.
Wow. We had that with Love Shack by B-52s. There was some point where everybody at dance parties would all like say something together. I don't remember what it was. I wasn't cool enough to find out.
Tin Roof, Rusty?
Yeah, but before that.
Oh, before
that.
Yeah, there was like a lead up into that.
It was like a set up. They all just knew what to say.
Yeah, right.
I wish I knew what that was. Hey, how long were you a farmer? Did you grow up as one?
Yeah, totally.
Really?
So my dad lives on a road that he was born on. It's called Anderson's Road. Yeah.
That's so boring.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Wait. There's more. His father built the road.
Whoa.
After the Second World War, the Australian government gave what they called soldier settlement land, which was cheap land to men who'd gone away and fought in the war, so they would start the industries again, you know.
Yeah.
So my grandfather, who actually wasn't that interested in farming, bought a farm and ended up becoming like a local politician like later in his life. But my dad loved farming from a kid. So he's moved 500 meters, like 300 yards, down the road he was born on. In 70 years.
Wow.
He married the first woman that he ever kissed.
No way.
He's never drunk alcohol, he's never smoked a cigarette, and he's never tried drugs. We have nothing in common.
Do you talk to him anymore?
You know what the funny thing is? We get on like a house on fire. Get on really well.
You just don't talk about drugs or fucking or...
Neither of us are interested in each other's shit. We put up, like, he comes and sees my comedy festival show once a year. It would be the worst night of his year. But he comes every year, and afterwards he shakes my hand and tells me that it was good. Even though I know that I don't have any indication that he doesn't like it, other than I know him and things he likes.
Yeah.
And I would not be one of them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So he comes along, he shakes my hand at the end, he tells me it was good. Like, he never complains about the topics and all those sort of things, like nothing. And then when I get on the phone to him on the like four or five conversations we have a year, even though we get on well, but we're not like, you know, in each other's face, it will be one of those things where he will tell me about farming things that I don't understand. Like for about half an hour, he'll tell me about what's going on the farm.
Did you farm when you were there growing up? Were you working with him?
But I don't understand any of it.
Oh.
And then he'll tell me about local football results.
As if
it's like you should.
As if I'm keeping. But the thing is, I haven't. It's not like I'm ringing him every week for the results. He's just giving me round 17's local football matches as if I'm studying the local football league when I'm away. But he's a wonderful guy. He loves football.
What is that? It's just nice to talk to people you like.
Right.
So it doesn't really matter what it is. Like, what is that?
I don't know.
I have the same stuff with my dad where I'm like, we don't really connect on specific things anymore.
Right. Yeah, so I was a farmer. Yeah, farm kid. I used to have to milk cows before school.
Really?
Yeah. So from about age 13 to age 17, I would have to get up before I caught the bus to school.
Whoa, and like then in the dark?
Yeah. About 4 o'clock in the morning, get up, milk cows for about like an hour and a half,
At 13,
hours.
He was like, what, you're old enough?
Yeah.
You'd be bar mitzvahed if you were a Jew?
They paid us, though.
Oh, they did?
They didn't have to.
Oh, okay.
But they did.
Your parents paid you?
Yeah. They paid us a wage, put us on the books, you know, that sort of thing.
Oh, wow.
And so by the time I was 18 and got my driver's license, I had enough money to buy a car. You know, I hadn't had to go out and get a McDonald's job or whatever. Like, I just worked around the farm and they looked after me. So it was... That was all right about it. I actually liked that bit of it.
Was
everything
farm, like,
else,
boring?
I hated it.
Yeah, was it just like nothing to do?
I mean,
you had menial tasks, I guess, but like, were you? Was your mind like occupied?
Well, I think that's probably why I chose to do what I do. Is that I had so much time by myself. Like, you couldn't hang out with the other kids after school or anything because
you had to get back.
Right, you got to go back. You got to work, or even if you miss the bus, like you can't make it back. You know, no one's going to be able to come and get you. Right. So, you know, I was, I think that's why you're in your own head. You're like, you make up stuff and you like want to do something else other than farming. Like every time I've had a shitty gig in my whole life, it's still better than at 4 o'clock in the morning. I had this one moment. This was my revelation.
Yeah.
So the trick is that when the cows, because the cows essentially have their back to you, right? And my job was to take the milking machines off. Dad puts them on, I take them off, right? They go around this rotary dairy. It takes a few minutes. They milk and I take them off. You have to watch for
take
cows
that with
kicking.
The things off their nipples?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you have to watch for the cows kicking.
Yeah.
And you have to watch for the tail going up. Because if the tail's going up, something's coming out, right? So they're your two essential things you have to look for.
Now, does someone tell you that, or do they just like, he'll figure it out?
I think if they didn't tell me, you learn very quickly.
Yeah.
So I had one morning, it was so cold, because my job was, I'd have to get up, I'd have to scrape the ice off the window of the ute, like the pickup truck, like that I would drive illegally around to the dairy.
What's a ute? Utility vehicle?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I would drive it around illegally, and then it would be freezing cold, right? And there was one morning, it was so cold, when the tail of the cow went up, I knew instinctively that, like, my brain was like, you've got to move now. But the rest of my body was like, no. Being covered in shit and piss and being warm is better. I had, like, one of those Bear Grylls moments where, like, I was just going to fucking skin a camel and just live in it because I would be warm.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is not a career for me. This is not what I'm going to do for the next 60 years.
Yeah. How did you get out? Did your dad disappointed? Did he want you to do that stuff?
I always say that there was two things that happened in my career that were like really wonderful, like that, you know, kind of helped out. And one of them was definitely my brother decided to go back on the farm, because I think that
took pressure off you.
I think if he hadn't, I maybe at some stage I would have felt some pressure to do that. Yeah.
Well, he left and then came back.
Yeah. He's a carpenter.
Okay.
And he went off and there's an Australian tradition, because you can get a visa to the United Kingdom, because obviously they still technically own us.
Yeah.
That's
weird.
The one bonus of that is
you get
that
to go.
You can go there under 30 and work and live. So most Australians, if they want to have a gap year or like go away, go and live in London. So my brother did
cool
that thing where he went to London for 4 years and like took drugs and worked as a labourer, and like you can get to everywhere in Europe for there. So they'll work for 6 weeks on a job, then get a van with like 8 of them and drive around Germany or whatever and like have a good time. So he did that and got that out of his system and thought maybe going on home on the farm and having a family would be, you know, something that he would enjoy. So so he did that and I went, thank you.
Thank you, yeah. That's how I feel all my brothers and sisters like having kids.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
One brother, two sisters.
Okay.
But once they got that, especially the brother, they're like, okay, cool. You're not going to bother me about it anymore.
No, that was what my family were like. My sister's got her fourth kid on the way, and my brother's got two.
They're both married.
But were they Ross pressuring you the before farm. That? And then it's like...
No, you know what? My parents, yeah. remarkably, because they have no experience of this, I was the first person in my family to finish high school, right?
What?
I was the first person in my family to go to university, and then I threw that away because I wanted to tell dick jokes to strangers for cash, right? And despite all that...
Yeah.
And that being nowhere in their realm of what their lives are like, they've always been really cool about it.
Wow.
I had one thing that I reckon growing up on the farm really drove into me, was I always wanted to pay for my own way. And I thought if I could pay for my own shit, my mistakes were on my own, whatever.
Yeah, it could be a real
person.
And
my parents are like, they've always been cool with that. Like, if I've never asked them for money, they're kind of like, well, you know what? Make your own choices. Yeah. Seems to be going okay.
Yeah, if you don't plug them, right. then they're like, all right.
Yeah.
Were they religious?
No, that's the weird thing. Dad doesn't, drink or anything, but he's not religious at all. My mum was raised religious.
Yeah.
So when we were, like, little, we went to church and stuff. But Australia, you probably know this because you've been here before, but is technically the least religious country in the entire world.
I don't know. I didn't know enough about it.
It has the lowest rate of religion of any country in the entire world.
That's why everybody's cool here.
Well,
maybe. I don't know if they're cool here, actually.
Yeah. Some are.
I don't know.
People are people. Yeah. People are terrible and awesome everywhere. Yeah.
But I went through the botanical gardens, and it was so nice.
Right. Oh, it's nice here.
Yeah.
Oh,
there's no homeless people. There was like one guy with a 40-ounce.
Right.
It would never work like that in New York.
No, it's definitely not New York. Uh-uh. Costs about the same, though.
Costs about the same?
Yeah. Well, it's really expensive. It's like the second most expensive livable city in the world now or something.
All the clothes and everything. Just
yeah, it's really
pricey.
Expensive. I always think Americans, because when I go to America, not only is the food massive, but it's all cheaper than everything is here. And I always think when Americans come to this country, they must be like,
why is it so expensive
here? What's going on?
Yeah, exactly.
And then they're like, and coffee, why don't you sell it by volume? You seem to sell it by some sort of quality system in this stupid country.
What do you mean? What do they do?
No, I just love, because here, you'll pay like $4.50 for like a coffee that is like the size of like your index finger.
Yeah.
Whereas in America, it's more like, you can get a bucket of coffee for $1.
Yeah, it's all about more. Yeah, supersize.
Would you like more coffee than you can physically fit in a human body?
I don't drink coffee. It's the only thing I'm better than people at.
Is that right?
Yeah, I never got into the taste. And all my friends are like, you should start. You should drink. I'm like, why would I addict myself to this thing you clearly can't get off of?
And it's expensive.
Yeah, every day you got to buy 2 cups of that.
I mean, seriously, if you look on like a, people go, that dude's got a Coke habit, right? I would drink 4 or 5 coffees a day, maybe. And that's like $20-$25.
You gotta take time out of your day, dude, to get it.
Right.
You can't just run to the bathroom and do some coffee and come back.
Plus the calories.
Yeah. Yeah. I dated some girl once and she was always broke. I was like, stop drinking coffee.
Coffee, right.
You can't afford the $15 a day that you're spending on it. Yeah, whatever. So there's no one around there in that farm you're at. By the way, the bugs here are hilarious. There's not a lot of them.
Yeah,
there's always like one that will not leave you alone.
Yeah.
They're organized here.
There's a theory. I don't know how much truth this has or whether it's folklore. But Australians, when you're learning accents and voices and stuff, the trick to speaking like an Australian is that Australian people don't open their mouth very much when they speak. And so there's a theory that because of the flies were so bad when people first got here, that people learned how to speak
just
with their...
barely open.
Yeah, with their lips closed. But the more you get into the country, like my dad, like, has moved his lips 4 times in his life. Like, he's never cried and he's moved his lips 4 times.
Why?
And he's
so
never shook a man's hand without leaning further away from his own body.
What do you mean?
There's a theory of space, right? If you're in New York, because you're constantly up against people, the idea of like greeting someone and hugging them and kissing them and being close to them is not foreign to you.
Yeah.
But the closer you get, the further people are naturally away from people, the further they greet each other.
So you'll notice natural that people space from, is really wide. So like, stay right there.
So you'll often see farmers and people from the country shaking hands over a fence or, leaning towards each other. Because
that's not homophobia. That's just
the funny thing is,
space?
Probably some of it's homophobic.
Yeah.
We've just bashed some people behind us. That was fun.
I like that. Everybody apologizes. Both people are like, sorry. They're like, cool. We're all normal people.
Yeah.
Not looking to fight. You think they walk to the other side of the fence just so they can shake the hand?
Yeah. Like, I mean, they did just build a fence when they saw the other guy coming. Yeah. So
handshaking fences.
It's their faggot-proof fence. That is a great reference that will sound harsher than I realized when I said that.
Yeah.
Was there's
everybody
a
don't know you're joking,
very yeah. famous... No, yeah, I know. Oh, it's your podcast.
Yeah.
But there's a very famous Australian incident called the rabbit-proof fence. And it was a famous Australian movie as well. And I was like, oh, that's a good play on words, Will. Well done. And then I was like, oh, yeah. People who listen to this and don't know that reference would just be like, that got a bit weird in the middle. Or it got all...
He just suddenly gay-bashed for no reason. We didn't see it coming. We didn't know why.
Firstly, I was trying to be from the perspective of the homophobic farmer. Secondly, it's so much better when you explain the jokes.
Yeah. It's always way worse.
Yeah. Your Honor.
I had an English teacher that broke down something once in like 7th or 8th grade. And she was like, okay, let's examine why that was funny. And then just made it completely unfunny.
Right.
Yeah, you can't really break it down.
I was having a conversation with someone last night.
Yeah.
Really funny Australian comedian called Tom Bellard, who was out on the road with me. And we were talking about that idea of the hardest joke to explain to people, which is still a legitimate joke.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, you can explain, hey, I'm making this point about this, or I'm subverting this, or I'm blah, blah, blah.
There's an opposite. You expect this. It's going the other way. Yeah.
But the hardest joke to explain is the joke that is just funny that you're saying that thing that is so terrible that no one should really say. And there's not really any other reason, but in the middle of a set or in the right spot, just saying that thing.
Dude, the hardest I've ever laughed. This is the hardest. I know the moment. One was watching a JB Smoove set like before he got... But it was... I was in Israel. We were on a kibbutz. And this lady was talking to us about the settler days when they got it, when there was no state of Israel. She was there from like, she was like 20 when she got there, and she was 60 or 70 now. And she was telling us how the Palestinians would cut off their water supplies. They have to boil water every night because they didn't know if they could get attacked. And she was talking about the Holocaust and how they moved from there into Israel afterwards. And she also ran the canteen. That was her job in the kibbutz. And my neither one of us know if I leaned into him or he leaned into me, but one of us go, ask her when they're going to get more marshmallows in. And we just laughed so hard for like 20 minutes. We couldn't stop laughing. Because you're like, it's just the wrong thing to say right now.
Like, and that's why it's funny.
Yeah.
Right?
That's the only reason why it's funny.
And it doesn't mean either of you are terrible people.
Yeah.
But that's the hardest one to explain to the world.
It's just the one that doesn't seem like the right place to say it. So that's just why it's funny.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Really? Were there any drugs on the farm? Could you get them?
No. So I was late to drugs, like university for me. Yeah.
That sets a lot of people free.
We drank. My parents were pretty cool for people who didn't drink. Actually, my mum was quite excited when I started drinking because she actually didn't really choose to stop drinking.
Just because your dad
Just because my
it.
Dad didn't drink. Yeah. She just didn't really drink that often.
And so my mom was with religion. She's like, I'll do it, I guess.
Right.
If you want me to. Yeah.
And so 14 years old, I went to my first party where there was going to be like drinking.
Yeah.
And my parents, like my mum went and bought me like, they were very much from that, like, I'm going to give you 3 beers.
Yeah.
And I'm fine if you have 3 beers, but if they're,
if
I hear that there's more than 3 beers or you're drinking something other than these beers or whatever, then we're going to have an issue. So, you know, this is going to be our situation.
It's right? So hard to maintain when they give you a line like that.
Right. So early on, I was pretty good about that. And my friends were like smoking pot and stuff, and I never smoked pot.
I'm a good
kid. I was like, I've got my 3 beers, and you know, I have my parents' trust. You know,
that's way more worth it to me than the buzz I will feel.
Yeah, right. And
I get high on Jesus.
And yeah. So, not until I got to university where suddenly like there was a girl that I liked who like thought the drugs were cool, and I was like, well, I think you're cool. So like,
so yeah.
Yeah, right. And so I had my kind of 20s, like my 20s were like, you know, drug, like amphetamines, like drugs, you know, like.
Oh, real, the hard
at uni,
ones.
Well, like, not even, but at uni, they were kind of like, it was the days, the era I grew up in was like, the end of like a cool acid period, and then like
cool.
Ecstasy became really big. It was that time where ecstasy was massive, and that was
ecstasy's
big.
Ecstasy's not really a drug. I mean, it is, but it's not one of those where you're like, what do you take it? You don't take it and go to work.
Right.
You take it and go to parties or concerts.
And that's what we were doing.
Yeah,
we were going to parties and concerts.
It just enhances it. It's not like coke or heroin where like I'm doing my drug now.
It was the complete opposite of that. It was
that's
literally
a separate
like
category.
I agree.
Mushrooms, ecstasy,
right.
pot. Those are all separate category drugs.
So, but the interesting thing through all that was I still never smoked pot.
Really?
And I was like, I don't know what it was. I know exactly what it was. I would like to feel cooler than like what I'm about to say, which is none of the other drugs demotivated me. And I had friends, like comics and stuff, who like smoked heaps of pot and did nothing.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be really good at comedy.
Yeah.
Like, I still wanted to have a good time and go out and like have it, like, you know, be a young comic and like being on the road and, you know, making stupid decisions. I wanted to do all that. That was part of the reason I wanted to do comedy. But at the same time, I wanted to be able to keep doing comedy. And I realized that...
Yeah, don't let the drug control you. Yeah.
Right. Because otherwise I'll have to get a real job and I won't be able to afford to do this and have fun. And this is fun when you're a comedian and it's fun. It's not fun when you're just the guy who now sells drugs so he can still hang around at the backstage room, right? Not.
Yeah.
And
pot has that. That's the worst side effect of pot is lack of career.
Yeah. And so like in my early 30s, a mate of mine he was like, come on, right? You know, and I was kind of getting out of that era of going out all the time. Like I was settling down into my life a bit and... Like, I smoked pot with him one night, and he explained a Queens of the Stone Age video to me on the television.
While you were you were high.
First time I've ever, like, really smoked pot. And it felt like it took 45 minutes, and I understood more about music in that moment than I had ever understood about music. And I'm a guy who loves music. And I was like, all right, well... this is for me now, isn't it? This is my thing.
Yeah.
So that's, and that's been like a decade. Like it was honestly the best thing that ever happened in my life. Like it chilled me out. I find it really positive for me. Like I was a guy
the version they sent to you is not the full version.
No.
The version they say it's going to ruin your life, you're going to do nothing. It's like, that's a possibility, but there's lots of other stuff too. It mellows you out. You probably cry more at movies now.
But my thing was also like, there's a point where like, ambition and drive and stuff in comedy in particular.
Yeah.
Like, I don't mind when guys start out and they have a bit of hustle. I know, like, that some people are like, but it's hard when you're young, right?
Yeah.
You just got to get as much experience as you can to work out how it is. But I reckon there's also a point where it's good to stop hustling.
Yeah, take a day off.
Relax.
Yeah.
You know?
I moved to New York and I can do more spots now, more workout spots.
Right.
I also make sure to take a day or two off a week where I'm like, let me go on a date, let me do some things.
What are you going to talk about?
Yeah, what are you going to talk about? It's all comedy all the time. You have nothing to draw from.
Right?
Yeah. Hey, I got you something. How vegetarian are you? Do you eat gelatin at all?
No, well, if you don't tell me it's in it, then I'm fine.
All right, well, here's a gummy bear that has no gelatin in it.
Okay, cool, sweet. Actually, you know what? I eat gummy bears and I try to...
Really?
I'm like a willful ignorance person.
That is... I don't know how strong your tolerance is.
How did you get that? Hang on, I shouldn't ask you that, should I?
Yeah, I don't care. It's fine. I won't be back here. I don't care. Nobody cares. I talk about illegalities all the time. Well, I brought it on the plane because it's such a long flight, but I actually ended up sleeping 8 hours, so I didn't eat them all.
Is it serious?
Yeah. Oh, and this dog went through my bag on the way back. I landed, and they were like, I had all these nuts and stuff that I was going to, for the snacks. So I was like, all right, I don't want to get caught. So they, do you have any nuts? I said, yes. And they sent me to another line. I said, put your bags down. And they had this little Jack Russell Terrier, and he went right for the pockets that these were in. He went right for it and started digging out. And the guy was like, do you have any like fruit or anything? I'm like, no, maybe a nut. He goes, no, that wouldn't be that. I'm like, and he goes, did you eat an apple earlier? And I realized how much trouble I was about to get into.
So
I was
like,
yeah,
yes,
uh-huh, earlier. And he goes, that must be it. And he just pulled the dog away. Yeah, I'm not ever going to bring these back here again.
This is a story out of school, so I'll keep this a little bit vague.
Yeah.
But another prominent American comedian came out to this country, and one night we were at a bar together, and she could have been any prominent Jewish American comedian, pulled out some...
Who is it, Silverman?
Yeah.
Judy Goldberg.
It could be anyone.
Yeah.
She pulled out this chocolate, and I'm like, how did you... She goes, I just brought it. I said, you know that's like... Like, essentially, you are in Breaking Bad now.
Wait, I should have put it in my lapel pocket or something.
Right.
Away from the dog. Yeah. Yeah, you just bring it. I don't know. What happens if they catch you?
I mean...
I have no
idea. You would get in trouble, I imagine.
Trouble, definitely.
Right, it's
drugs. I don't
know
how much.
Although, I accidentally took... How's this?
Yeah.
Now, is this for now or for later?
Oh, for later.
Yeah.
That's an all day.
Yeah,
that's
great.
A 7-hour
cool.
trip.
All right, good.
Yeah.
Nice. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Even better. I'd been at a music festival in Byron Bay, which if you ever get time to like travel around Australia, first place you should go is Byron Bay. It's
really?
The best place in Australia.
I want to.
For mine.
Where is it?
It's like an hour flight from here. It's like up the coast in between Sydney and the Gold Coast, basically.
Okay.
Right? And it's just beautiful. It's like a magnificent place. And it's got a little bit expensive and touristy now, but it still has all the things that kind of made it cool in the first place. And they have this cool rock festival up there called Splendor in the Grass, and it's like a weekend rock festival, and everyone camps, and it's really cool.
Nice.
And so I don't really camp anymore. I'm a bit, you know.
I still do it. I do it for mushrooms only. Yeah.
Right.
Just for my, it's like the way to get away from people. Otherwise, you got to do it here and hope you're not ruining anyone's day.
So, it's funny that you say this, because this is this exact same trip. So, we're staying in this house on the beach, right? Me and some others of my friends. And we have all these mushrooms.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Yeah. It's the only reason to camp.
And we think, oh, well, we want to go to the beach. Like, you know. So, but the house is on the beach. All we have to do is go over a sand dune. And then we are on the beach and, like, feet in the ocean. Like, middle of the night, right?
Perfect.
Right? So, me and Charlie, my friend, we start out on this mission.
Yeah.
And we've been walking for an hour, right?
And they're like, we're not going the right way.
We have to I'm whispering to him. I'm like, have we been walking for an hour? You know, because the path, which was, like, 10 meters, like, just kept... It seemed to keep stretching out in front of us, right?
Yeah.
As it turns out, obviously, we'd literally been walking up and down on the spot thinking we were walking forward, right? So we eventually get out on the beach, and we're, like, laying there, and, you know, you can see all the stars,
yeah.
And, like, they're exploding. Like, they're exploding, you know? Like,
man.
It's the universe. It's like a fireworks show, right? And we're just lying on the sand watching this to the point where Charlie at one stage gets so... He's like... I've seen too much. And he just stands up and turns his back to the universe because, like, he just could not see any more pleasure, right? Then these gypsies come up the beach.
What?
Right. This, like, band of gypsies with, like, violins and, like, traveling show.
Wow.
And they sit down with us and start... And I say to the dude, I'm like, did you have a violin? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, could you play me something? And the dude's like, I have... a principle, a belief that if anyone ever asks me to play music for them, I'll play for them. So he gets out this violin. This is like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
Right? He gets out this violin.
The universe protects you when you're on mushrooms.
Right.
Yeah.
He starts playing the most magnificent thing you've ever heard in your life. Then he gets up and walks away. The whole time I've not been able to look at my friend because I'm pretty sure it's happening, but I'm not 100% sure it's happening, right? But I don't want it to stop either way. And I know as soon as I look at him, but we both look at each other at the same time and both have that look of like, did that just fucking happen? Yeah, it happened, right? But anyway, at the end of the night, this is the whole point of bringing up this story is, we smoke a joint, then we smoke another joint, then halfway through the third one, we have half, and I think, oh, we need to save a little bit for the morning. I'll put it in my camera bag, bang, all right, done. Remember to get that out before you go to London next week.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So... I'm on the tube in London on the way into my hotel from the airport, and I'm fiddling around in the camera bag, and I find half smoked joint. So I traveled
on the plane.
So on the plane, like I went through customs, whatever. Half smoked fucking joint. Half smoked,
stinky,
terrible,
and fucking wow,
terrible old
wow.
They probably
what'd you do? What'd you do with it?
Like, well. Well, this is the worst thing.
You can't smoke it on the plane.
No,
that's the first thought.
Like, no, okay, I threw it out. But I was like, afterwards I realized, I reckon even if they found it, they probably just would have looked at me and gone,
what are you doing?
Come on. Like, seriously. You're clearly not smuggling this.
Yeah, half a joint. Half a smoked joint. Not even a thinner joint. Half a smoked joint.
You can afford a plane. You can find someone on the ground. Yeah.
You smuggled $4 worth of weed in here.
Not even.
Australian weed.
Right, yeah.
This is strong. I don't know what your tolerance is for edibles. But, depending on what it is. If you got a tolerance, take the whole thing and really go nuts. If you don't, eat the head off and then see where that takes you.
That'd be fun.
Los Gourmets Hermanos.
I am in LA.
Yeah.
I must admit, I enjoy your capacity to have an edible and going to see that
History of the Universe show at the Griffith Observatory. Oh, have you ever seen that show?
No, I have not. I've heard about it.
I mean, it blows your mind at the best of times. Like, it's a really amazing show.
Yeah.
But if anyone, like, is into edibles and is thinking, what would be something that's just really cool to do? Honestly, it will blow your
mind.
What's
it called? What's the show?
Like,
History
of the
World?
One about the history of the universe.
Yeah, which is it comes. And what is it played on the big like screen above you?
So they so someone comes out like holding an orb at the start and kind of narrates it, which is already hysterical and brilliant. You're in these comfortable chairs that lay back, looking at the roof, and this orb comes up, and then all the stars are there. And essentially, it's a story about how insignificant we are as human beings.
Perfect
because,
for when you're on stuff like that.
Right.
That's your only thought anyway.
Right. And it blows your mind. It's fantastic. I highly recommend it. Yeah, sure. Why don't we do that? We're day drinking.
Yeah, we're day drinking. More beers. Day drinking.
Yeah, it's good. I like that.
It's fun.
This is the pub that's like, this is like kind of my local pub, and it's right on Sydney Harbour. Like, we can look back
from where we are.
Who are
all those people
on the
boats? Are they just fishing, or what are they doing?
No, they're just like sailing.
Oh, okay.
So people sail on the harbour. So
yeah, those sailboats.
Yeah, so they're out there, and people moor their boats just down in front of where we are here. And but I don't really get down here that often because, like, you need an occasion to, like, I live in an area of Sydney that's really nice to show someone who's not from Sydney.
Yeah.
So it's like, if someone's in from out of town, so it was, like, great when you said you
come
over
excuse.
Today. I was like, this is cool. I'll be able to, like, go down the road.
That's what I always did in L.A. when people are like, what should we do? I'm like, oh, I'll do the tourist shit with you. Yeah, I can show you some fun L.A. that I never get to do.
Yeah.
Because it's 6 blocks away and I just don't ever go there.
Well, we were talking about this before. You were saying you climbed the Sydney Harbour Bridge last time you were here. And I've been living in Sydney for 13 years and I've never
climbed it.
No.
Yeah, it's too accessible.
It's just over there. We can see it from where we are. And it's like,
these are great views. You see the whole city.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And the bridge. Wow. Yeah, it was like a two-hour hike.
This is where the original Australians, the original white Australians,
the
English.
Convicts is where they're pushed.
So,
oh, okay.
Because we had an indigenous population's been here for 40,000 years.
Yeah, and you wiped them out.
What we call the Aboriginal people. Yeah. Well, I like to think that we didn't wipe them out. As a very funny Australian comedian, Greg Fleet, always points out, it was the British that wiped them out. None of those people who came over on the boats in the first place were Australians.
Yeah, good point.
They were British.
Yeah, good point.
You
weren't accepted by them either.
By the time there was Australians, we'd stop killing them. Wow, not entirely.
Yeah,
mostly there. With like government policies and not understanding their culture rather than, in the more direct way they did originally. But just where we are, just basically behind our shoulders is where the first ship sailed into Australia and saw like Sydney Harbour and decided that they were going to come and settle
populate
here.
Populate it.
Yeah.
And like, who are all these black people? And like, they don't matter. Don't worry about them.
Well, they declared it. The official term was terra nullius. So they declared the land without people. So they didn't exist.
Really?
Yeah. So when they got here, they basically just said, this belongs to no one. There is no one here.
That's the best
way
to
do it. And they were like, what about, we're here.
Yeah.
We got didgeridoos. Come on, guys.
And like, anyway, so no one's here. So we'll just,
Yeah, like most countries.
A country. You just, no war. Just say, it's ours.
And one of the most beautiful old, cultures in the world. Like, cave paintings 40,000 years ago.
Really?
Wonderful, history and stuff like that. But like a lot of indigenous populations in white countries, really marginalized, treated terribly, horribly affected by people bringing alcohol in and society's not being set up for it. And, it's pretty... the way Australia... I mean, indigenous people couldn't
vote
in Australia
about it here,
until
the
60s.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they integrated now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like,
schools?
Of course, yeah. I mean... So basically what happens is that, there are plenty of indigenous people extremely successful in every role in society, Some of our most famous sports people are indigenous people, like real heroes of the nation.
Okay.
Probably our most famous Olympian for the last 20 years is a woman called Kathy Freeman, who was like at the face of the Sydney Olympics. She's Aboriginal. She won a gold medal there. Like, it's not like... But,
totally accepted.
But
now.
If you go out into the middle of... the country back into the outback where people are still living in, settlements and, humpies, that sort of stuff. There's horrible problems with alcohol, with incest and all
sorts
of...
Is that where they got pushed to just like to inland?
Well, that was traditionally where they were anyway.
Okay.
90% of Australia lives on the coast.
Yeah.
So like it seems like a really big country, but there's fuck all people in the middle of it.
Why? Just wasteland?
Well, I mean, it's mostly terrible desert and stuff like that, so it doesn't help.
How do they live in that place? Like, what do they even do? Can you farm in places like that?
Yeah, there's farming. And, like, you know, there's...
Hunting?
I mean, you know, and like anywhere there's people, there's, you know, businesses and environments and stuff like that. And, yeah, but massive big farms, you know, like, and... But, that's where you're going to see the kangaroos and the emus and all the things that people think is in Australia.
I saw a kangaroo jerking off last time I was here at Tauranga.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
With the tiny arms?
Yeah, just jerking it and staring right at me.
I wouldn't have even thought they could get down there. Are you sure?
Maybe he bent over. Yeah, I took a video of it.
Right.
It's on my YouTube account.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, he was going for it. It might have been a wallaby.
How big was it?
It's bigger than me.
Okay, it was a kangaroo.
Okay.
Can't get a wallaby that big, so...
I want to eat kangaroo meat, but Ilya told me that it's really, really tough and, like, not good at all.
So, you can take your advice from a vegetarian, but... it's like...
good point.
It's really good for you. Like, really good for you. It's some of the best meat in the world. Just needs to be cooked properly.
Oh.
It's pretty rich. Like, it's a pretty rich meat. It's a bit gamey.
Is there a place downtown that cooks, like, or around?
Oh, yeah, you'll be able to...
Like a good restaurant for
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
But you wouldn't even know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say off the top of my head,
yes.
If you go to anywhere around the, like a Circular K around Sydney Harbour in there, where you, like near the Opera House,
yeah.
Like, you know, somewhere like Rockpool or somewhere like that would do.
Yeah, we saw a place
kangaroo.
That had it.
Yeah.
But he was like, nah, you don't want this. But I was like, I think I do want it though.
Right. It's actually not a bad thing to be eating, because a lot of in the middle of Australia, a lot of kangaroos are pests and stuff. So farming them for...
And they kill people, don't they?
Slash
people? Don't they
they're pretty vicious.
Yeah, way more than we give them credit for.
Yeah, yeah.
All we see in American is like, oh, they have pouches where they put their babies or people they
which are full of slime and...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's nowhere near as... It's not like a purse.
They did the Simpsons
nowhere near as exciting as
they did the Simpsons where Homer and Bart are like, their labor's on, they're like, let's take this kangaroo. And they step in there and they're like, ugh. It's not like in the movies.
Not at all.
Yeah.
No. This country is full of, I mean, it's. I guess it's famous for it, but full of fucked up animals that, like, you know the koala thing, right?
What's the thing?
Well, so koalas, this is what you need to know about koalas. Everyone thinks that koalas are...
Super cute.
Cutest.
Uh-huh.
Koala bears, they call them overseas. They're not bears, they're koalas, but, so that's the first thing.
Yeah.
Second thing, is they're high all day long?
On what?
Gum leaves. So the gum leaves that they chew make them high.
Wow.
Gum leaves actually have terrible nutritional value. Like, as a species, they would be much better to eat a range of other things. But they are willing to subsist essentially on the gum leaves.
Because it gets them high.
Wow. And then they sleep most of the time, so they don't have to expend energy. They'd rather sleep and get high, and 90% of them have chlamydia.
Really?
Yeah.
How do koalas get chlamydia?
From each other, I imagine.
What is it?
I
don't know where disease starts from.
I assume someone didn't get drunk and fuck a koala, and that's how it happened. Like, I don't. I mean, maybe
that
did happen, but yeah,
Did it come?
I can direct you to some websites.
Yeah, there must be some koala fucking websites. There have to be. If you want to pay for a membership, there has to be that.
And if there isn't, there's a business
get on
venture.
It. Get on it, world.
So there you go. Riddled with chlamydia.
Wow.
Ew. Sewn all the time, sleep all day.
Yeah, they don't have careers. They don't have, like, who cares if I'm getting ahead?
Yeah.
I'm supposed to sit in this tree all day anyway.
Right, whatever. Occasionally someone will think I'm cute and want a photo. They're Paris Hilton. Essentially, they are Paris Hilton.
Yeah, no value at all.
Right.
Media.
Just occasionally. Kind of wonky eyes. Like, I mean,
could you get laid on the farm? Were you able to, like, were there people around to fuck?
I did not, I was telling someone a story about, we were talking about the fact that a friend of mine who was like, people have heard this story, but she was in her 70s, and her husband and I and a few other friends scattered her ashes under the Sydney Harbour Bridge, and the reason she wanted her ashes scattered under the Sydney Harbour Bridge was that was the first place, that was where she lost her virginity. She was on a boat. Going under with a sailor.
Wow.
And she was like, you know, she was 75. And this wasn't with her husband, but her last request was she wanted ashes scattered in the Sydney Harbour, like under the bridge, right? Fantastic.
Yeah.
I love that sort of stuff.
75-year-old.
But then I was thinking about it, I was like, that means my ashes would have to be scattered in my parents' bed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Right. And they still sleep in that bed, still today. Like, that's still the same bed, in the same house, in the same farm.
Dude, what are you doing? I had a girl sleep over at my parents' house once when they weren't there, but I wouldn't go to their bed to fuck.
Right.
It seems so creepy.
Oh, in retrospect,
what were you doing? We just, it's the most comfortable bed in the house?
It was the only big bed.
Oh, right.
It was the only bed that, like, seemed like a two-person bed.
Yeah.
I had, like, a single bed in, like, with my brother
like
in the bedroom.
Does.
Not that he was around, but still even...
You lost your virginity in your parents' bed.
In my parents' bed. Mum. No. Oh, sorry. I mean, that does explain a lot more. I forgot to... I understand why you thought that was such a weird story.
What do you mean, Mum? Of course.
Yeah, I mean, sorry. It's like, why is he looking at me crazy about the Mum's bed thing? Isn't that like everybody?
You have to take it from her point of view. She doesn't want to go to a new bed.
She said, it's time to have the talk. And then that escalated. I knew what she was saying.
It's a talk and show. It's a show and tell.
Yeah, show. I mean, it's practical. I'm not a good book learner. I need to do things a few times. A high school girlfriend. Yeah, high school girlfriend. But,
came over for the weekend when your parents were gone or something? Or
party, daytime? Yeah, party while they were away. So, you know, the whole... I think that was also why it was the parents' bedroom. I might have had some mates. I think we had a party.
Down there,
and I think we had some mates staying, so they were, like, in the other rooms anyway. And I'd, you know... Because obviously you don't want
it's
your friends...
It's weird to fuck at a party. It's weird. I mean, I've made out with girls before, but I'm like, where are we going to go? It's some guy's room?
Oh, I understand what you're saying, but here's what I'm saying. I think...
Knock.
First time around, all bets are off.
Yeah.
Like now, I'd be like, well, I have a house. Can't we just go there?
It'll be more comfortable.
I have a credit card. We'll get a hotel if you don't feel comfortable going to my house. But, like, wherever.
Yeah, we don't have to do this in the dirt.
Yeah, we don't have to. Or, like, we can go somewhere outdoors if that's your thing. But let's not just, like, go to a room here.
My friend Jim Painter lost it outside. Effort. He went behind a bush when he was 14. With this girl who was like 16. And then he got mugged in the middle of it.
Mugged?
Yeah, some guys came by. I was like, want your money? And he's like, he asked if he could finish. And they're like, no, we're going to need that now.
You know the worst thing about that would be? If you had one of those things where you could only now, like, get off.
if you got mugged? Yeah. Like, so if you get mugged, you're like, I'm rock hard down here.
Right.
That's not a knife. This is a knife. Like, that's a boner. That's not a knife at all.
What about you? What was your story then?
I was 23. I was waiting for the right girl.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. And since then, I've become a total legit gen. But
yeah. No, I was like, I wasn't a big... it wasn't until I started doing comedy. I mean, I was never that...
you became a degenerate?
Yeah. Like, well, when I went on the road, like, you know what it's like. It's Saturday, every night is Saturday night.
Yeah.
Because the
every
town
night
you're
is Saturday
in...
Night. Especially when you're
it's
starting.
It's Saturday night.
Yeah.
You know, the show's in town.
I've never been here before.
Right. And
yeah, people
and
know you.
And
they're
you're
already
leaving.
Out.
Yeah. Right?
So it gets this thing with girls where they're like, okay, I get it. It's got to be today
I get
or forget it.
It
or
right.
never.
Yeah, yeah. You never
so
have
both
to
understand what the
you
deal
never
is.
Have to put the hard word on.
Yeah.
Because, like, they obviously all understand that you're leaving as well.
Yeah.
Like,
and it's not that it happens every night.
No.
But it's available here or there. It's possible every night.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, so I certainly had that period, and then I was in a really long-term relationship with the girl that you met today, who is I live with still, even though that we are not together anymore. But
oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you broke up and you just lived together?
Yeah, we broke up about a year ago, but we lived together in that house, and because I don't live there, I'm away from that house 10 months of the year. So we have animals and stuff, as you met some of today.
Together.
And we get on like a house, like, you know, as you could probably say,
do
like we get on really well. Sorry?
Do you still bone once
in a while?
No,
that would be the thing that would... Then it would get complicated again, you know
what
I mean?
Yeah, but that happens when you're living with somebody that you've already done it with.
No, because I don't think we could live together if we did do that again.
Yeah,
that's like the... You know, there's a... I mean, it's hard enough anyway. I'm not saying it's like the easiest thing in the world.
This will ruin it.
But we have... Yeah. I know that what will ruin it. And we've got a good thing going on, so... Nah, it's cool. It's nice. Because I'm a person when it comes to that relationship thing. Because also, she was the great love of my life, and it didn't work for any other reason than our lives don't work that well together. The things that both of us enjoy and want to do and stuff aren't...
What do you mean? Like
she doesn't really like comedy. She certainly doesn't like being on the road. I like being away. I like doing... Like, you know, there were just things over the years that became, you know... But we, you know... But I was like, if you love someone and you want to be with someone all the time, why is the only other option to that, I never get to
never
see you
see
again,
them.
And we have to hate each other? Like, even if we transition to a point where we see each other less and less and less, I don't want us to hate each other. I mean, we had periods during breaking up and stuff over the years that...
Sure, you get angry and jealous.
And where both of us did terrible things. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, I was like, I just don't get that thing of, like, I like her. She's awesome.
just because we can't be together doesn't mean I don't want to like have a relationship with this person.
Yeah.
So I'm willing to do a little bit of work to make that work.
Are
you, you know?
Do you have to tell yourself like, okay, you know you fucked this kind of thing up in the past, like work at it. If I want to be friends with this girl, like let me
absolutely.
Make an effort.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and you do.
Yeah.
And you
I had this
work
one girl,
it.
Ashley, who was like an artist that we couldn't, it was just because I can get laid once in a while on the road right. and it became a problem.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I was like, let's not fight and hate each other. Let's still say we're really important to each other.
Right.
And just not fuck. Let's still get the rest out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's, I mean, I'm not a believer in this idea that things have to be all or nothing in general. Like, my favorite saying is everything in moderation, even moderation. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
there's no black and white. It's not really.
Right. And why can't you be one guy sometimes and
yeah, that happens too.
Right?
When you're around your parents, you're a different person than when you're around your friends.
But also, you can be a you can be a great person with someone and a terrible person with another person. Like, that's why always think it's weird when someone goes, oh, that guy's great or that person's terrible. No, probably not.
Just the version
you saw. They're probably a mixture of that. To some people, they're probably wonderful.
You ever have a friend that everybody hates, but you're like, I get it, but they're cool to me, and I like being around them.
I have a friend that, you know, that, for a guy who's not religious, this is a parable, I believe, but isn't it like that parable of, like, the serpent, where it's like the guy picks up the snake, and, like, heals it back to life, and then the snake bites him, and the dude's like, why did you nurse me back to life? And the snake's like, you knew I was a fucking snake.
Yeah,
like, I have some snake mates, and I know they're snakes, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah, you just can't.
Right?
You just know certain things. If they're thieves, you're like, I'm just not going to leave my wallet around.
Right.
It's like, fine. Just keep being a thief, but I know I'll protect myself.
Right.
All right.
Yeah, I've got lifelong mates I wouldn't leave alone with a girlfriend.
With a girl. That's a main thing. Yeah. Joe Rogan used to do a bit about it where he said, leaving your girlfriend alone with certain dudes is like leaving a sandwich on the table with dogs around.
Right.
Where you can leave and go, no. No, but as soon as you're gone, they're like, hold on, let's just go for it.
You know I'm a fucking dog.
Yeah.
And I love sandwiches.
Which choice would I have? You ever get kicked by a cow?
Yeah.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
How hard does that hurt?
Yeah, it hurts pretty hard. Although, I don't have a lot to compare it to because it's not like I've done a lot of street fighting or something in my life. So, it hurts as much as anything hurts, yeah. But, you know, like animal pain... Like, all that... When you're on a farm, I didn't know any different.
Yeah.
Like, if I got... Like...
So, what do you mean? So it's
if
like
I got
Tuesday
kicked by a cow now, I'd get my manager to sue the cow. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I imagine if I got kicked by a cow now, how soft and horrible I've become as a human being. Like,
on the ground for 2 hours.
I'd probably die. I'd probably just die. Like, you know?
Fuck it. I'm out.
But when I was, like, on the farm, like... My dad always says this to me because I look back and go, oh my God, like I always say to him, I say, imagine if I've taken over the farm. At best, it would now be a meth lab. At best. Like, that is the best possible scenario. And he's like, no, you were good on the farm when you were a kid. You just, you know, rejected all that stuff when you moved away.
Yeah.
So maybe, I don't know. I don't have any memory of being good at it.
Yeah, that's all you know, too. You can keep doing it.
Right.
Without, like, growing at all.
Yeah.
You didn't get, think you gave you, like, a work ethic?
I definitely got a work ethic.
From that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Like,
If you... Before school, you had to work.
Right.
Before school.
Yeah. No, I have a work ethic, but I like my work, so... Right. I find it really easy.
Yeah, but there's still something... I mean, I don't know how you are, but to sit down and write, for me, is... It's like... Oh, it's like climbing Mount Everest.
You know what I'm... And this is like... you know sometimes you just have terrible tricks for yourself?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
One of mine is... The best way for me to get me to work on something is to have something else that I should be doing.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like...
Yeah, that's when I clean my room. Right. I got to write new material. Let me clean up.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
I normally just have, like, about 4 or 5 projects on the go. And, like, yeah, the fact that the TV one needs to be done next week means that I'll suddenly write 20 minutes of new stand-up. You know, just to avoid doing the other thing. And then, you know, you just toss them around. Like... For example, I'm doing these trial shows as of Thursday. I'd really actually like to think of some material. Instead, in the last week, I've put out like 6 podcasts.
Yeah. You know? Everything else.
Podcast has never been more productive.
This deadline is looming. Right. It's coming closer every day. And I was like, you can't do anything else, so I'll do that.
Anytime when I'm doing something really well means I'm probably meant to be doing something else.
What's your podcast called?
Tofop.
Topher?
Tofop. Tofop.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it's named after Russell Crowe's band.
So I don't know if people know that Russell Crowe had a band. But Russell Crowe, before he was an actor, was a musician in New Zealand who performed under the name Russell Rock.
Wow, what a tool.
L-E-R-O-Q, La Rock, Russell Rock. Yep. Then he became a very famous actor. And then he decided that he would use that fame, Keanu Reeves dog star style, to take the band out on the road, right? Yeah. So his band were called...
I'm sure his bandmates like, screw it, absolutely.
30-odd foot of grunt was the name of their band. The most pretentious and terrible name in the history of rock music. So it was Russell Crowe and 30-odd foot of grunt, right? So they were called Tofog, was their, like, shortening
acronym,
name. Terrible... Like,
doesn't sound good.
Country slash just taking himself way too seriously music, right?
Which Russell Crowe will do, yeah.
So then he got rid of his band and he changed the name of the band to The Ordinary Fear of God. So Russell Crowe and The Ordinary Fear of God, which is still Toe Fog, because clearly he had some Toe Fog t-shirts.
The hashtags,
right?
Yeah, like, yes, like, all
right. Yeah. We'll just change the name.
Yeah.
So I just get obsessed with, like, dumb shit like that.
Yeah.
So when we were trying to come up with the name of the podcast, I was like, I'm going to call it 30-odd foot of pod. Like, that's like toe fop.
Okay.
But then now it's kind of called faux fop because the other dude... Anyway, whatever. If people want to find it on the internet, if you Google toe fop, which now proudly, if you put in the letters T-O-F-O...
Yeah, do you
on
come
Google
up
Predictive
above?
Search, the podcast now comes above
nice,
Russell Crowe's band.
Fuck yeah.
So yeah,
fuck yeah!
I feel like that was a good moment in the history of the podcast.
Absolutely. It's on iTunes and stuff.
Yeah,
everywhere. Nice.
Yeah, it's on All Things Comedy as well, so people can find it there.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
You're on our network.
Yeah,
our
that's
co-op.
Right.
I like to call it a co-op.
It is a co-op,
yeah.
Right? Yeah,
because people
cool.
are like, what's that network? It's not a network.
It's
we
not
do
a network.
Ourselves, and we support each other.
Right.
When somebody has a special, we're like, hey, everybody,
you
watch this awesome guy special.
It's great.
Yeah.
I've really enjoyed it. Like, it's been... Because the same thing. I had no interest in, like, being part of a network or anything.
Happens.
But there were so many cool guys that I knew who had podcasts on the thing. And then, like, I did the LA Podcast Festival with...
Oh, you did?
Like, the other weekend. And all the guys, like, were there from ATC. And, like, they listen to the show and they tweet shit out of it. I'm like, it's cool.
It's
fun.
Nice when they tweet
it's
something.
Nice.
They, like, quote something in a
right.
podcast. And you're like, oh,
all
right,
yeah, no,
cool.
Good listening. On you guys. Least, yeah, right. Yeah.
You're not just, like, running an algorithm like to find quotes.
Right. At least there's an intern locked in a cubicle.
Right. Who's listening to just garbage all of us just talking. Yeah.
The weird thing is, 20 years from now, your only fans are five people who are interns at ATC who are forced every day to listen to your podcast.
Yeah, exactly. So for the next 5 months, you're doing fuck all. You're just so. Do you write stuff ahead of time and say I'll work this out on stage, or do you just go clean slate?
No. So next week I do these like trial shows. That's just basically clean slate.
Okay.
But after that, I really start to like work things out. So I go back to the US after that. Like I do half of my year in LA and half here.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Oh.
So, I go back there from mid-November through to March 1.
Where do you work
basically.
Out?
All over the place. Like, okay. Like I do Meltdown and...
It's a fun show.
I mean, I do a lot of the shows. I mean, I do all the main clubs. Like, I do the Improv and the Laugh Factory, and I do Largo a bit. And, I may have one of the ATC shows coming up at Largo as well. I probably should mention that.
Oh, yeah, a couple of those.
Yeah, Dave Anthony was asking me about that the other
night.
When
are you doing? November or whatever is that?
November 20 or whatever it is at the moment. Bill Burr's on it. It's a fun show,
They're putting on good shows.
Right.
I'll be there in January.
But again, that's the stuff that, like, I love about the network is, like, it's not... Really, a network. Like you said, it's like they're just going to take people. They're like, hey, we've got a bunch of cool comics. We'll run a comedy night of people who, like, you can go along and see people you might not have seen and other people you have seen. And then if you like them, you can go away and
check out this
listen
guy. He's
to their
cool
podcast.
Too. Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
It's kind of cool. Yeah, I like that.
I really like that. Madrigal and Burr are like putting it together and like,
right.
It's great. The idea of it's great.
Yeah, it's cool.
They're like, no, the comics are the ones doing it. You guys don't get to own anything. The comics get it. It's theirs.
Yeah.
They have this fucking device and we're doing something in Sydney, Australia.
Yeah, it's
like,
amazing.
Why would anyone else get a piece of that?
But also, like, the connection of it. Like, I mean, I love the idea that, like, because particularly for me traveling, like, the dudes in LA, like, the great way that I've got to meet guys and, like, have an actual chat. Because what you'd love to do when you go to a new place is go, hey, I'd really like to know you. And I feel like if we knew each other, like, you know, we'd get along really well.
Yeah.
Can we go out somewhere for an hour?
Just talk.
And, like, really talk.
That's cool. Right? It's the first time we've really talked to you,
right? The fact that we have microphones enables us to have an intimacy where you can just talk about that. But if we went like, if I just said, hey, you don't really know me. You want to have lunch?
So uncomfortable.
Be like,
how could you ever
date?
Do that?
What,
like, what are you talking about?
What
are you talking about? Dude, I have to run into you like 40 times
right.
before we can ever do something alone. It's way harder to meet dude right? friends than chick friends. Yeah.
Podcast invented by dudes to meet other dudes.
I know, antisocial, awkward dudes. Yeah. So do you have any big shows coming up? I feel like I don't know what else to talk about. Do you have any big shows coming up that you should promote? Anytime in the next couple of months, or you're just working out? That's
I'm
crazy.
Working out. People can find me on willanderson.com.au. I kind of post shit there, or on my Twitter, like will_anderson. But
will_anderson. Yeah. Why the underscore, man? The underscore sucks.
Should have got into Twitter like 6 months yeah. earlier.
Was there another Will Anderson that's
nah,
got it?
Someone had actually squatted, like you had like cyber squatted on it.
Because of you?
Yeah. So people buy, I've always had to buy all my things off people because for here I've been well known longer than the internet was a proper thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
so as soon as it came, people
yeah,
like,
the people who knew that the internet was going to catch on discovered that before I did.
The best story, that was McDonald's.com and somebody figured it out and got it. And they sold it for $500,000.
It's genius.
$500,000. Right. Like, I know you need this. Right. I know you. I've been waiting for 5 years for you guys to call.
So we had to buy like willanderson.com and willanderson.com.au. But when it came to Will Anderson on Twitter, I was like, fuck that.
I'm not paying for this.
I'm not paying for that.
So it's a squad.
People can find an underscore.
Yeah. Once they know it, it's fine.
That's
just
right.
Tag somebody. You look, you do the search.
So I always put all this shit up there. Like, and yeah, on another podcast and stuff. So I think, you know.
And you'll do your riffing stuff on there too? Would you put it up on podcast? Is that what you do? That's a good idea, man. Because, you know, even if there's a germ of something right. that's going to become something, it's barely there.
And I also think for the people who are, like, listening to the podcast, like, you know, when you're like, here's a bit from this show.
Yeah.
Even if they went and saw the show 9 months later and that becomes, like, a chunk, they'd be like, oh, great.
Yeah, I remember
like,
that.
Like, I remember that when
remember
that was,
that
like,
was
half an idea.
Yeah.
That's like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. Next time I finish recording, I'm going to do those sets in the Comedy Store. I'll just do that. That's a good idea.
Right.
If
might
you're
as well.
A nerd, if you're not, don't listen to it. It's not going to be good. I'll tell you that ahead of time.
Yeah, but that's the point. But the other thing is, I think that our idea of what's good and like someone who's interested's idea, yeah. I'll take it out of comedy. For me, the idea of like hearing a band do an early version of something like In Utero, oh, yeah. the Nirvana album, it was the 20th anniversary of that.
Yeah, but they have Bleach and they have the other ones right. where like, oh, this song was all dark and, like, and
right.
like grungy before.
And they go, this was the version we thought it was going to be. And to hear... like an artist, like, because you know the song, and
yeah.
it's the same with comedy. You've seen the bit, like, you know, you've seen Gaffigan talk about Hot Pockets or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But like, can you imagine if you actually got to hear, you know, the first
like
time that like
that?
There was an idea
yeah,
in that or whatever
I saw
it became?
Him in, Austin, I just watched his big show. I like watching big shows sometimes,
right?
And he did like 45 minutes, and then he goes, yeah, I'll probably just go home after this and get a Hot Pocket. And the place
they
went crazy. It was like he did the first three chords of Freebird.
Right. That's
just
like
nuts. I've
that is insane
do that.
For comedy. Like, because my audience and the comedy that I do,
yeah.
like, I just don't think that my
you're
stuff
kind of
is that.
Right? You're,
right. Well, it's not eternal.
Yeah.
It's not like anyone's coming along to sing along to Hot Pockets, right?
yeah.
Like, they want to hear new shit.
Yeah.
They want to hear new shit. No one's coming along waving their lighters, but they've been amazing yeah. to just be able to go, so, I was...
some old bit.
Right.
And we go, oh my God, he's yeah. doing it live.
Right, I would love that. Just one. I don't
yeah.
even want, like, I don't want that to be every bit, because you wouldn't want to be tied to the idea of always having to do your role.
Constantly.
But I love the idea of just being able to do an encore, and people are like, do that Down Syndrome Rocker Stedford piece.
Louis started doing that after, when he's building up an hour when he's at like 45. He'll finish with like any requests.
Yeah, oh, I'll just do one.
Yeah, I got a piece so bad.
Yeah, all right, well, let's finish. Are we finishing?
I don't know. Let's go. Want to. Let me pause.
Either way, this is a pause. Yeah.
But I'm proud to say I'm a God-fearing, hard-working combine driver, hogging up the road on my flower, chugging, living, looking 5 miles an hour on my international harvester.
That was the episode. I have no singing voice. You know, I like when people do that thing with their voice and they sing when they go, when it goes up and down. Where it's like, that's our show. My brother and I used to always make fun of the people who did that during
davening during Minyan, during synagogue services, synagogue services on Saturday. Some people, like Mr. Kurtzer, would always be like, oh, 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 or Mr. Shore. They had like good voices that they practiced on, but we're like, what? We try to do that in our lives. We're like, it's time to wake up. That's the episode, you guys. Fucking Will Anderson, cool guy. Thank you, Squarespace, for sponsoring the episode. If you go to squarespace.com, use the offer code STONE, you will receive a 10% discount and a free domain name when you sign up for a year. And then they'll continue to sponsor this podcast. So Squarespace, you guys, it's a super easy way to build a website. It's super fucking easy. I mean, it's like it does it all for you. If you thought WordPress was easy, this was so much easier than that. And you could do anything you want. There's like 8 different templates. They're getting more all the time. If you want to switch templates, like into the run, if you're like, I'm bored of this, want to switch, that's totally doable. They can have commerce stuff on there. That's so fucking easy. That was always the hardest one. When I built my site, that took us forever. But this, to set up an e-selling site, it's so fucking easy. You can do it in 2 minutes. Just drag and drop pictures of whatever the fucking product you want to sell. Say how much. It's all in there. The templates are set up to make it so simple. Squarespace.com, offer code STONE. Thank you for sponsoring the podcast. They are a cool company. You guys, if you're looking to build a website, seriously, go check it out. It's cheap and it's really easy, and you have the power to do what you want with it. Squarespace.com, offer code STONE. So that's the episode. So here was the only other thing I wanted to share from Sydney. Everybody said how easy it would be to get laid in Australia, that everybody likes to fuck. But old Ari did not do any fucking. He just sat there waiting for someone to offer him. I heard stories of somebody offering a 3-way to a comic and him like, no, I got a girlfriend. So then they just offered it to the fucking opener and he's like, no, I got a girlfriend too. Hot girls. That's the story. I asked. Trust me. I asked. Whenever those stories come up, I'm like, hot? Like, yeah, hot. I'm like, give me a legitimate number. And then they give me the number and I go, is that an LA number or a Sydney number? And then they go, oh, a Sydney number. I'm like, that's still not bad. A fucking 7 where you are is not bad. That's legitimate. And if they're both 7s for a 3-way, that's crazy. I didn't see thing one. Not one chick hit on me. Not a fat, ugly chick. Nobody. So, Jacques Hughes, Sydney sluts, you didn't live up to your, I don't know. I'm not good at going out to bars and like trying to pick somebody up. There's no fucking way. What was I going to say? I don't know. I'm back in New York and this girl, this podcast would have been out this morning, but this girl next to me, she could probably hear me talking at this level. So I'm going over these review tapes for the Montreal Comedy Festival. I'm excited, by the way. It should be fun. Just skiing. It's too late to submit now. And she's... I have it on 3 on my computer. 3 out of 16, not out of 10. I count it. Out of 16 dots. You know how Macs work? You just keep hitting up. It's just a bunch of dots. 16 of them. I hit it on 3. And she's banging. She's banging on the wall. And I'm like, what? At this point, I'm going, I can't lower it. I'm doing this. I'm not... I'm living my life. I'm changing for you. I'm not playing it loud because of you. You can't bang. It was daytime too. First she started banging at night, and then she started banging daytime when I was listening to it on like regular volume. This is me right in front of the computer. So she's through a fucking wall and 12 feet away. The city. They don't turn my fucking heat on. It's like barely on. They have these furnaces. Well, the good thing is, so I just got back to New York from a month in Australia and L.A. The last day in L.A., Friday, played golf with Renazisi and Justin. Justin Edbrook, not Martindale. Gay people don't play golf. Golf. It got hot. I had to take my overshirt off. I played in a t-shirt for a while. Then, because it was a municipal course in Encino, where Caparulli used to work, took the fucking shirt off, played 2 holes with no shirt on. What a degen. I never thought I would ever. I used to play in polo shirts and slacks every time because that's the respect you have for the game. Not now. I did that. Anyway, back to New York, full on winter. I know they say it's autumn because it only gets down to a low of like 38. But that's fucking cold as shit, you guys. I wore 4 layers. I was freezing on the way home last night from the cellar. I was so cold. And I wore t-shirt, shirt, hoodie, denim jacket. That's 4 layers. That wasn't enough. It's fucking November 3rd. That's what it was. Saw the Flaming Lips, too. Here was what I wanted to say. So I saw the Flaming Lips on Tuesday in L.A. while I was there. Missed them in New York because I had to go to L.A. to tape more of those storyteller shows. Saw them. They were really good. A bunch of new songs I didn't really know, but still an amazing show. Saw all these comics afterwards. Bronholer, Randy Litke, Brendan Walsh. Who else? My friend Allison, Matt Kirsch. Andy Wood. Man, just a bunch of comics. A bunch. But here's my problem. I'm talking to Randy Litke and Brendan Walsh, and we're talking fine for a while. I'm like, hey, how you guys doing? Said, hi, I'm on a small dose of mushrooms. It's pretty much worn down. I took them before I went to eat before the show, and they kicked in, so I couldn't. I just took an Uber up there. It was $6. Uber's great. Finally did the adult thing and said, no, I'm not going to drive on mushrooms. I'll just take a $6 cab. Saw them afterwards. They're all doing great. Randy and Brendan are sitting outside on a bench just smoking cigarettes. And I talked to him for 2 minutes, and then I realized, oh, they've got to be on shit. They've got to be on shit. And Bronholer, too. And Wood, too. Andy Wood, too. And then I got super uncomfortable because I don't know who's on what. So I don't want to bother anybody. So I just gave Randy and Brendan a hug. I was like, all right, guys, I'll see you later. I was with a girl, with Aaron. And I was like, I'll see you guys later. And then I took off, and I was so nervous that I left too suddenly. But Aaron said that I was fine. So she said it might just be the tremendous amount of pot, wine, and mushrooms that you're on that makes you think this. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to trust your word for it. She goes, you left totally fine. You said, it was nice seeing you guys. I'll talk to you later. You gave each hugs, and you took off. Yeah, it's fair. What was the other thing I wanted to say? I guess I don't really know. And it can wait till next week. So, you guys, don't forget, all my dates are on arithegreat.com, Austin, Boston, St. Louis, Atlanta this month, and New York for my storyteller show a week from Tuesday on the 12th. Brendan Zisi, Metzger, and Al Madrigal so far. Working on 2 more. Should be packed, too. And Squarespace, and that's it. My Amazon link, if you shop through Amazon, blah, blah, blah. All right, I guess we're done, you guys. Go see Will Anderson. He's got a really cool idea on this stuff. I mean, he works out. So he finishes, I don't know if I said this on the podcast or not, and then just riffs for like 3 months, trying to come up with material. Just riffs. I mean, this guy plays big venues. And he just riffs, and he's like, it's all about going and writing and performing a new material. That's what it's all about as a stand-up. So don't lose sight of that. We were all so good at that as open micers, and then we lost sight of it. Nothing's worse than when you're trying to burp, and then you get this little nothing of a burp. That's right. Nothing's worse. Nothing. So did you guys hear about the TSA agent that got killed? By someone targeting TSA agents? You know that's what this means. This means they're going to try to arm the TSA. They're going to try to put guns in their hands. This is just the small steps. They always go in small steps, but this will be one of the steps. And regardless, I don't think this was set up by the government in order to get the TSA to get more power. But once it happened, they will use that to get more power. We've lost control. Fucking putting arm... I'm telling you, they're going to want to do it. And they already are. That day, I wrote out an ironic tweet. Like, well, this definitely proves we have to arm the TSA now. And their union already says we want armed guards at every post. I'm like, how is this looking less like fucking Nazi Germany? How is it looking less like that instead of more? That first day when I got upset at them, I was on this pot cookie and I was through security. And I was through security. I'd already gone through it. But I was just looking at everyone raising their hands and everyone stopping them in uniform and shuffling them through. And I was like, this looks like they're fucking processing people for a train car. How is guns going to be less like that? In Australia, it's a breeze. You walk right through. Dan from the Melbourne's Comic Lounge was greeting me at the gate. He's like, we can get through here. He's like, oh, I mean, I had to park my car. I'm like, no, that's not what I meant. I mean, how do you get through security into the? He's like, what security? There's no security there. They figure, what? You've got a license. You should be coming here, right? I mean, you have to put your shit on a bag, but you don't have to. You do have to take your computer out. I think that's it. And then you put it through a fucking thing, just like you would in any courthouse. Private security firm. So if you're fucking upset with them, you can just not fly their company, and their company will be like, well, hey, people aren't flying us because of the security firm we hired. We're going to hire a better one with better customer service and a better rate of success. 80% of the bags they try to get through at Newark, the fucking fake bombs get through. They don't. Our place doesn't do shit. Our TSA. You leave your shoes on. They don't have to ask to see your ID even. They just like, yeah, you got a ticket? It means you're supposed to fly. Well, what if somebody tries to hijack it? Well, they'd hijack it under their real name too. Eventually, you might have to show an ID. I don't know, but it wasn't through the whole thing. Just a breeze. Just really free. The Australians have done this weird thing where they've given up. They have it just as corrupt as we do. Politicians are just people, and they get paid by lobby groups or donated to their campaigns by lobby groups. And of course, just like I would, I'm not even blaming them. Just like I would fall prey. I would be susceptible to people who gave me a lot of money. I'd be like, well, I'm more likely to want to do what you guys say. It's pretty close. Nobody's getting hurt. And then like, only one person's getting hurt. And then like, well, only a few people are getting hurt, but this company, you know, I like them. And then suddenly you're bombing fucking 40 innocent people over there to save one American life. 40-1, that's the fucking price. But they, what the Australians do is they just gave up. They're just like, yeah, everyone's corrupt and crooked. And first of all, it's mandatory to vote there. You have to, or you get fined. So rich people don't do it, like the super, super rich. But they're the ones who care. They're the ones who have the government in their pocket. So they always do vote. But the regular Australians, they vote, but they just like, yeah, we don't care. They're all crooked. They all do what they want. And they've just given up. They're just happy drinking. Like, oh, we got a red. Another 5% in taxes? Fuck. Well, what can you do? And they're right. You can't do anything. Voting does not help. It does not help. So when people say, well, at least I'm voting. At least I'm doing this. I think the voting in New York is tomorrow or the next day or something. When is it on here? Veterans Day? Election Day, November 5th. Don't do it, you guys. You're wasting your time and you're playing into their game. And you say, well, not voting doesn't help. Yeah, but voting, not only does voting not help, voting makes people think they have someone to make a difference. It's like having a shitty manager if you're a comic. It's like having a really shitty manager, like really shitty, like I've had in the past, that doesn't do anything, but you're left complacent with the feeling that like, well, at least if something does come, they're the ones who should take care of it. Voting doesn't help, you guys. That's not going to be the way it gets done. It's just not. You have to apply pressure to the people that are already doing it. And, you know, that pressure comes in different ways. It comes in either gigantic fucking rally somewhere, which really is just a small level of civil unrest. And I've told this before, what the greatest level of civil unrest is what the rebels are doing in Syria when they have a problem with their government. But, you know, I don't see that happening too soon. I do see it happening in like 25 years, but not too soon. But until then, yeah, don't vote. Don't fucking waste your time. Watch TV instead. Well, first of all, mathematically, one vote does not make a difference. We don't have a parliamentary system. If 48% of the people vote for one guy, then 48% of the people are not represented in the government once the other guy with 52% gets elected. So 48% of the people have no voice. We need a parliamentary system. Second of all, one vote doesn't matter anyway. One vote's never going to sway it in a state or even a county. And then also, your vote doesn't mean shit because once you get into a crooked system, you become crooked. You have no way around it. There's no way around that. Even if you're not fucking straight taking bribes for campaigns or straight into your pocket, you're just playing their game. That's why every politician that comes out super anti-gay turns out to be gay because you're not doing the shit you believe in. You're voting for people to do what they believe in, and they're not doing that. And you're certainly not going to tell on your other coworkers. Dude, there are shitty comics that I know, but I won't tell an agent if they ask me about them. I won't say, like, yeah, that guy's sucky. If I've seen them around, I'll be like, yeah, they're good. You should sign them. Or, yeah, you should give them this part. Because I'm not going to fucking fuck over fellow comics. And it's the same thing. They're not going to fuck over fellow congressmen. It doesn't work that way. They want more power for the NSA. Diane Feinstein says we need a. She's in charge of reviewing them. She goes, we need a serious review of them. But then says, but hey, let's give them full power. Let's give them more power. Let's say we need to give them the right to be able to surveil us without telling us what they're doing. Why? Why would you shut your books? Anyone who doesn't show your books is crooked. What do you mean they don't? The NSA spied on the Guantanamo hearings. They were spying on those. How would that help our security? We're having hearings in a secret court to decide whether or not we have to try them, human beings. And by the way, we decided we don't have to try them. They're just sitting in jail for fucking 8 years. No trial. And now the reason we can't let them out is because they're going to be too angry at us. And now if they weren't terrorists before, they're going to be now. That's our reasoning. We fucked you over so bad that we can't let you out because you're going to hate us. Anyway, it's become political. Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 139 with Will Anderson, Farm Boy, is over. So my point was, I sort of like the Australian point of view. Let's not rise up. Let's not rebel. Let's just fucking take it. When someone's more powerful than you, you just fucking take it. That's what you do, and you move on. You enjoy life in small ways. You get drunk on a Saturday, obliterated drunk, like all the girls do in Sydney. 2 a.m. in Sydney or in Melbourne at a bar. Those pickings are fucking semi-rapes. They are obliterated. 1 o'clock, it's different. By 2, those girls are gone. It's pretty fun to watch. All right, you guys, I'm out. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 139. Farm Boy with Will Anderson. Done. Don't forget to check YouTube. This Is Not Happening. And check out a bunch of stories. Mine will be out on Sunday. I mean, on Tuesday, tomorrow. Bye. Now to upload it. So this is, what time is it right now? 5:18. Everything else is done. I got the music already. So we'll still call 5:20 because I'm still talking. So let's see how long it takes to actually get it up. So I got the music. All I got to do is like go in and out of the musics. I even know which one's going where. And the website's already built. I just have to put up the link. So let's see how long it takes for me to finalize this. And then put it up. 5:18. Still. Okay, let's call 5:19. All right, bye, you guys.
Well, it matters to our children, those left to carry on. Wish all it took to make a change was hard work, rain, and sun. Is it goodbye, Aussie farmer, the one who's done us proud? Never look the hand, that's just a chance to work it out. Wish we had stood beside you when the chips were really down. Is it goodbye, Aussie farmer? Is it goodbye, Aussie farmer, the one who's done us proud? You never look the hand out, just a chance to work it out. Wish we had stood beside you when the chips were really down. Is it goodbye, Aussie farmer?
Be packing it all to town.
Don't say goodbye, Aussie farmer.
God knows we need you now.